All right, the World Series is set, and game one tomorrow night. There will be fans in the stands. There were fans in the stands for the NLCS, which even though it wasn't a packed house, it's a rarity in 2020. We'll take it. And Dodger fans showing up. And in fact, there were a lot of Packer fans down at the Buccaneers game yesterday because Tampa's allowing a certain amount of fans into the building. There were a lot of Packer fans down there. So sports fans around, you know, America, Canada, are itching to get into the building, or some of them are. And right. I'm assuming there will be a lot of Dodger fans. There aren't any Rays fans, so they're not going to show up anyway. But to tee up game one in the World Series, here's our MLB analyst, Steve Phillips. Two best teams in baseball. Is this the way it should be, Steve? Tampa taking on LA starting tomorrow night?
No, I think it should have been the Astros just for the heck of it. But I think that, yeah. that, you know, we're looking at the two teams that won 40-plus games, 43-17 for the Dodgers, 40-20 for the Rays. And they're two evenly matched teams in a lot of ways. You know, although I guess the odds makers, whatever, the Dodgers are -200. It's pretty interesting how they're looking at a significant advantage for the Dodgers. I don't see it as that wide a gap at all between these two teams. I mean, you've got the Dodgers, one of the best offensive teams in baseball. They've got that circular lineup. There's no beginning and no end. They're all the same. They all can hit for average and for power. They none of them strike out. They get on base. They walk. And they can make productive outs. So, you know, it's a really good offense. And they've got good pitching. But you look at Tampa Bay, and the Rays have really good pitching. And you're talking about a big three in the rotation with Snell, Glasnow, and Morton. They've got a great bullpen. And, oh, by the way, remember off days in the World Series, which means that, you know, it doesn't take a 28-man roster to win a seven-game series. It might take a, you know, 15 or 16 of the 28-man roster to do it with the extra off days. That although the Rays, you know, their bullpen arms are interchangeable, as they've shown all year. But I think it's a very, very closely matched series. And interesting, 11,000 fans or so in the stands at Globe Life Field. It will feel like a home game for the Tampa Bay Rays. I mean,
yeah,
they're going to be right at home. although, you know, the other part of it is the Dodgers have played there. Remember, the Dodgers have played there, so they've got an advantage. They know the field. Mookie Betts knows how high he needs to jump to rob home runs. And we've seen Bellinger do it. And so they know some of the nooks and crannies of the stadium that in some ways gives them a comfort level and maybe an advantage as well.
My assumption with Vegas would be that the Dodgers are a more public team, so more money is going to come in on them, so they adjust the odds for that. And I guess they look at the Rays and they wonder, will they be able to hit? You know, will you be able to generate enough offense? Because that has been a bit of an issue for them. I guess you're not that concerned. You think Tampa will be able to go, you know, mano a mano when it comes to the bats, and the Dodgers can score runs in a variety of ways. You know, they can play the long ball, they can play a small ball. Do you believe in Tampa's offense in the World Series?
Well, yeah, here's what I believe about Tampa. You're right. I mean, their approach has been great pitching and good enough offense, where the Dodgers have had good pitching and really good offense. And so there's a narrower path for the Rays than there is the Dodgers. The Rays probably aren't going to win a slugfest if it turns into that. But because of their pitching, they tend to keep games away from turning into slugfest because, they, you know, if it starts to get away, they just bring in another arm of somebody who can shut down good hitters. And so I think because of the fact that they have such pitching depth and that baseball actually and that good pitching can shut down good hitting, I think that we're going to see a lower scoring series, that the Dodgers aren't going to be able to put up an 11 spot in an inning. There's no way they will because, Kevin Cash has got four different guys he can go to. You know, his stable of guys who throw 98, that includes his starting pitcher, Tyler Glasnow, who could throw 100 miles per hour with his 100th pitch in the game. So, I think that I tend to think that the Dodgers have more ways to win, but I don't know if some of the ways the Dodgers can win will ever come into play in the series. So I think it's going to be a closer match where the pitching will keep it close and it comes down to getting big hits. I have the Dodgers winning it, but I think it's much closer than what the odds say. And to your point, I think you're right. I think they're trying to draw some people in on the Tampa Bay side. But from a betting perspective, the Tampa Bay bet's a pretty good bet right now.
Well, Steve, speaking of pitching, if you're Dave Roberts, what kind of leash do you give Clayton Kershaw in game one?
So, the one thing to remember, the National League is only having one day off before they play, where the American League's had a couple days off. Both went to game seven But because the American League ended Saturday, they're getting Sunday and Monday off, and so their bullpen's going to be fresher. So I think that you know, that leash issue for Kershaw has cost Kershaw. You know, how many times has he given us a quality sixth inning, and then the seventh inning it blows up on him, and it looks like a bad start? And so I do think that although, you know, what we want from guys is to pitch their best baseball when they're the most fatigued, they shouldn't be that fatigued this year, starters. And so I think that the sixth inning, seventh inning is where Dave Roberts or, you know, Andrew Friedman or some kid in the analytics department is going to make their money about when to go to the bullpen. I suspect that they go quicker to the bullpen this year than they ever have before with Kershaw. That if he gives them six quality, he's out. He doesn't get the seventh, and they're going to go to somebody else. And I think it's the right move.
Oh, I think you have to. I mean, history has told you all you need to know about Kershaw. And he's got a 4.31 ERA. I think he's got over 177 innings pitched in the postseason. So it's not
right.
Some small sample size. I mean, this is the real deal. He has the most bloated ERA of any pitcher in baseball history that has over 100 innings pitched in the postseason. So it blows up on him. It's just a matter of time. And it has scarred his reputation. And it always will, unless he gets the redemption this week. And I'm rooting for him. Like, I'm not a Dodger fan. I have no connection to L.A., but I've always kind of appreciated his approach, Kershaw, and I obviously his regular season performances are all-time. I mean, he's an all-time great regular season pitcher. But I think his reputation can be saved if he gets one ring. You know, if he finds a way to get a win, and he's probably going to rely on his teammates, clearly. He's not taking the ball every day. If he gets one, I think you go lean back towards, wow, that regular season. But if he loses this again and he chokes out again, I think when all is said and done, 10, 15 years down the road, when he's going into Cooperstown, you bring up the postseason first. I think you have to with Kershaw.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with you 100%. I think, you know, we can't ignore the pink elephant in the room. I mean, he's got a 2.43 ERA in the regular season and a 4.31 ERA, you know, almost 1.9 runs per nine innings more in the postseason. He's a plus 99 in wins and losses, 175 and 76 in the regular season. He's 11 and 12 in the postseason. So it's clearly an issue. Now, it doesn't mean that he's always been bad. He has won a World Series game in 2017. I think it was game one that he pitched. He won. So he's not always been bad. I think the other thing that plays into it is the Bumgarner factor. You know, because he's a lefty, because he's a Giant, because, you know, it's a division rival, and because Bumgarner has been such a great postseason pitcher, you know, putting the team on his shoulders, we had that expectation for Kershaw. Well, you should be able to do it too. That means not only starting, but relieving as well. And none of that has really gone all that favorably for him. And it's almost to the point where he can throw five perfect innings, and if something goes wrong in the sixth, it'll be like, oh, here it is. Here's where we go again. And he's got to find a way to get through that, or you get him out before it happens. And I think that's where they're going to have to manage him. And the other thing that's interesting is that the Dodgers statistically had a better bullpen than the Rays this year. Better ERA, you know, similar strikeout numbers. And so, you know, they've got a really good bullpen, too. With the off days, it'll be fun to see how the managers manage the starters pitching. And I think it's going to be more of an issue maybe for the Dodgers. You know, what does Urias do? Does he come in relief at all? Does he get a relief outing in game one? You know, after having pitched three innings on Sunday. You know, how do you go about doing that? So I think that there's going to be a lot of intriguing aspects of this series. It's not from a network perspective. The Rays don't draw big viewership, but it's going to be a really, really good series.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun. Game one of the World Series tomorrow night, Rays taking on the Dodgers. So Bellinger goes deep in the seventh last night, and he pimped that home run, and which I'm all for. I mean, we've had this conversation for years now, Steve, and it was just the 50-year anniversary of the Bautista bat flip. But Bautista took a ton of heat, right? Earlier this year, Tatis Jr. took heat. Acuna takes heat. I didn't see much heat for Bellinger. And is that because he's American? Is it because he plays for the Dodgers? Is it because the game has changed that much over the course of like 2 weeks? Because I didn't see Goose Gossage doing the rounds snapping about Cody Bellinger today.
Yeah, Bellinger sort of stood and watched it until it landed and then started running. But I do think the game's changed a lot in the last 5 years. I think we've come to a level of acceptance that it's okay to let guys celebrate and show some personality and to not judge them for it. And so I do think there's a part of it. I always believe there's an element of prejudice, that goes into the evaluation and judgments and criticisms of players and things that go on with that. I do. I believe it. I believe it's real. And I believe it's true. And maybe we're getting better about some of that because everybody's been celebrating. Now we got mad at Fernando Tatis Jr. though, because he was the one who swung at the 3-0 pitch when I'm looking at it going, who cares? I mean, you know, it wasn't, the game wasn't out of touch and everything else. So, you know, in my mind, I think it's one that I think the game's changing. I think there's a level of acceptance more and more. I think that Bellinger's probably earned a certain level of, as an MVP, acceptance that maybe it's okay for an MVP to be able to do it instead of a young guy who's not quite earned it yet.
Well, Steve, sorry, I was going to say, it's funny, like we talk about Bellinger, we talk about Kershaw. I was trying to think this morning, like if there is a more, to the casual baseball fan, anonymous World Series team than the Rays. Like who would be, like Blake Snell people could probably name, but after that, it's like, can you think of like a World Series team that has less star power than Tampa?
I think Tampa back in 2008. I mean, it really, you know, the Padres back a few years maybe, but it really is Hollywood, you know, with the leading actors of Betts and Kershaw and Bellinger against the supporting cast, right? The best supporting cast. If they're going to get Academy Awards, you've got the lead actor category in Los Angeles, and then you've got the supporting cast where they mix and match the pieces. Nobody's really an everyday player except now a Rosarena, who people are starting to recognize a little bit, but not really. And you know what, Brandon Lau, nobody's going to know that. Wait, his name's pronounced Lau? That's what they're going to say. Like, I didn't have, you know. And so, I think you're right. It is such a stark difference. And then you look at, okay, you've got one of the largest payrolls in baseball, one of the smallest payrolls in baseball. Oh, the guy running the Dodgers now used to run the Rays. You've got Moneyball with money in Los Angeles and Moneyball philosophy in Tampa Bay, looking for as many discount values as they can. There's a lot of interesting storylines for me. I mean, being a former GM and you know, doing baseball stuff, I love all the different storylines that really are, you know, it's David and Goliath in some ways. And if I'm the Rays, I'm using that to my benefit as motivation. But I think from a media perspective, you know, and a broadcast perspective, there's a lot of good sort of angles to play in broadcasting this series.
I think it's a worst-case scenario for the 28 other GMs in the league because every fan base can point at either team and say, what the hell are you doing? Like, either spend the money like the Dodgers and get to the World Series, or even if you don't spend money, the Rays got there, so what's your problem? Like, it's a worst-case scenario for those 28 GMs.
Yeah, here's the other part, though. It's even for the large market guys, their owners are saying, oh, so tell me why these Rays guys are so much smarter than you, that they're paying a fraction of our payroll. Why are you not able to do this? I'm cutting your payroll next year. Find a better way to be more efficient. And from a player's perspective, it's not always great for the Rays to get in either, a small market team, because owners start to look at it and say, why am I spending all this money when these guys aren't? So let me get one of their guys in our front office. You guys better get it together, but let's start spending less. And that is never in the favor of the players.
No, it's not. That's a good point. And then you throw in the economy and COVID and all that. I mean, we'll get to the offseason in about a week and a half, but it's going to be one that's very different. I don't think there's any disputing that. Game one tomorrow night. Enjoy it, buddy. We'll do it again later in the week.
All right, terrific. Thanks for having me, guys.
Steve Phillips, our baseball analyst.
Brian, do you know it?
I don't know what's going to happen in the offseason.
I was going to ask you guys, the Kershaw thing, does it remind you at all of Peyton Manning before he won?
Yes, but yeah, Peyton had won by now. Like, Peyton won in 06, right? Like, he...
That was the Bears Super Bowl?
Yes. So, like, that was... He had been the man for about 5 or 6 years. Kershaw has been in the league for... How long has he been in the league for? This is his 12th year, 13th year? So... But similarities for sure in terms of watching him in the regular season, and you're like, that's the best player.
Yeah.
Like, that's the best pitcher. That's the best quarterback. And then just couldn't get over the hump.
I wonder if the advantage, like, disappears, that makes him special over a long season, disappears when it's so tight and you're so much everyone is scouting you differently and more intensely, and the competition's better.
Well, he's got to fight through, though. Like, that's, you know, like, he's got an opportunity. That's why I think this is good for him, because he can silence a lot of haters here by having a really good World Series. Hey, you said it before.
Absolutely.
Like, you have one good World Series. That's all the people will be remembering, not the failures in the playoffs. And that's not just reserved for Kershaw. That's any pro athlete. It's what have you done for me lately, not 10 years ago.
Yep, for sure. You get one. Like, Peyton's a good example. Once Peyton got one and he ended up getting two, it's like, I don't really care that he ran into a wall against New England forever or whatever. It's guy won five MVPs and two Super Bowls. That's a pretty good career. He doesn't have to explain himself.
Yep.
And Kershaw, we're going to see start, I presume, at least two games. And if it goes seven, then you get into the what does Dave Roberts do? Does he bring him out of the bullpen, seventh inning, try to get three outs on short rest? Like, that's drama, and that's where Kershaw's run into trouble in the past. And we'll see if there's going to be another act. I wouldn't be surprised.